House Intel Committee Chairman Adam Schiff is calling for the intelligence community to notify Congress of any actions by U.S. Attorney General William Barr to declassify any information deemed important to national security. The congressman joins us now live in the KCBS News Center. Thank you very much for coming in.
You bet. Great to be with you.
You made this request in a letter. Tell us more about it.
Well, it was unprecedented for the attorney general to seek and the president to give him authority to declassify information on his own without even consulting the intelligence agencies. That puts their sources at deep risk. It could put people's lives at risk. And it's being done for a transparently political purpose. The attorney general evidently views his responsibility as protecting the president at all costs, and that means attacking the integrity of the FBI and the intelligence community and potentially putting their sources at risk. And so we want to be informed whenever there's a request to make information declassified, whether the intelligence community has any concerns, reservations about that, whether they see any signs that their work product is being politicized. We intend to do rigorous oversight of this because it is an abuse simply waiting to happen.
On that note, Congressman, what is your understanding of what the law says about this?
Well, I think the law allows the president to declassify information, and he can probably delegate that authority. That, of course, doesn't make it wise, and it can be abused like any other authority. And so it has to be policed by the Intelligence Committee as a part of our oversight. And if the president and the attorney general are taking steps that are going to impact our security, we intend to fight it. And I'm deeply concerned that the whole intention of this is to selectively push out in a misleading fashion classified information in much the same way that Devin Nunes did through the now infamous Nunes memorandum. This is now part of the same effort to propagate this deep state conspiracy coup theory. For the attorney general, for example, to say that calling this spying is not a loaded term is an insult to our intelligence. And I have to think the men and women of the Justice Department hearing the attorney general cavalierly throw around allegations of spying, I don't know how they have respect for the boss when he talks that way.
I'm interested in your reaction to Robert Mueller's public comments earlier and what you think Congress should do about them.
It was notable that Bob Mueller began his comments talking about the Russian interference in our election and concluded by talking about the same. I think that the message that he wanted to get across first and foremost was, let's not lose sight of the seriousness of what the Russians did. And the debate over impeaching or non-impeaching, let's not lose sight of the most significant thing here, and that is our democracy was attacked. And I think implied in that is that we are at grave risk again in 2020 if we ignore this. He also wanted to make clear, I think, his differences with Bill Barr, that he did not intend for Barr to airdrop himself in and make a judgment that he thought the Constitution precluded him from making. And I don't agree with the OLC opinion. I also don't agree with Bob Mueller when he says that indicting a president is unconstitutional. It is only unconstitutional in the opinion of a few OLC lawyers. It is not written in the Constitution. It is not written in law or statute or mandate. But if you accept that as good policy, as Mueller does and did, it does follow that if you cannot indict, you should also not say that but for the policy you would have indicted, because that casts the same stigma over the office. So I think what Mueller said is quite logical, even if I don't agree with it. And for Barr to say now that that's somehow a mistake, that he should have come out and said that he would have indicted the president, if that's what he meant, I think is quite disingenuous on Barr's part.
Congressman, I want to ask you to pull back the lens a little bit on what's happening in Washington, D.C. right now. Very divided Congress. You were quoted, I believe just yesterday, as referencing an epidemic of cowardice in the GOP. Strong words. What do you mean by that?
What I mean is I think we've all understood how courage can be contagious. But what we have not realized is cowardice can also be contagious. This president doesn't stand for anything the GOP at least proclaimed it stood for. It certainly doesn't stand for family. this party, this president who is dividing families. It doesn't stand for decency. It doesn't stand for patriotism. This is someone who has essentially sided with Putin over his own intelligence agencies, who has sided with the North Korean dictator and says he loves him, and disagreed with his own staff about the violation of UN regulations by North Korea. So it doesn't stand for patriotism. What does it stand for? It stands only for Donald Trump. It's a complete subjugation to his will. And that is, I think, cowardice. Fear of angering his base in their districts, and unwilling to stand up for what's right, to call out the president when he is wrong or lying or indecent. I don't know any other word to use to describe it than cowardice, and I think it is what has our republic so fragile. It's not just having an unethical president. It's having an entire party unwilling to stand up to him in any way, shape, or form.
I'm interested in your stand on impeachment. There are more and more Democrats coming out saying that it's something that the proceedings should go forward. Do you agree?
I'm not there yet, although I may get there, and the administration seems to be trying to push us in that direction. What I'm most concerned about is putting the country through this wrenching experience, having a judgment of acquittal that will be held up in the future for the proposition that this conduct is not impeachable. And so I worry about that precedent and what that would do both for the present and for the future. But there are steps that nonetheless may get me there, regardless of the result in the Senate. If the president, for example, once the courts rule and they've been ruling against him, once the appeals are exhausted, if he simply ignores the court rulings, then we may have no choice. And we may get there before then, but at this point, I'm still not convinced that the merits of this for the country outweigh the risks to the country. I'm not smart enough to figure out how the politics of this cuts. And there are good arguments to be made on both sides of the political question. But I don't think the political question is the one we should be asking ourselves. I think we need to ask ourselves, is this the best thing for the country? And I'm not prepared to say that it is.
Before we let you go, we would be remiss not to address one of the other top stories today, which, of course, is the president's surprise announcement regarding tariffs on all Mexican imports. Your thoughts?
You know, the fact that it's a surprise is part of the problem. The White House would like us to believe now this is some long thought out, well crafted strategy. Of course, it isn't. It's an impulse by the president of the United States. And the result is going to be not any improvement in the migration situation. It's going to be further alienation of the United States and Mexico, which is not going to make them more interested in helping us with a migration problem. It's certainly not going to help on the trade issue. It's just another incendiary grenade lobbed that ultimately may very much hurt Americans who will have to pay these higher taxes that are called tariffs. So it's clearly not well thought out, and it's not likely to be very productive.
Well, thank you for your time. We really appreciate it. Southern California Democratic Congressman and House Intel Committee Chairman Adam Schiff.